This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton without Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio. First order of business, like always, we want to remember members of the law enforcement community that was murdered in the line of duty. First, we need to remember Deputy Sharif Sandeep Singh Dhaliwal from the Harris County, Texas Sheriff's Office, end of watch, September 27th, 2019. He was shot and killed conducting a traffic stop. His killer is in custody. Also, we need to remember Police Officer Brian Mulkeen of the New York City, New York Police Department. End of watch, September 29th, 2019. Officer Mulkeen was killed in a friendly fire situation. Him and his anti-crime cops were going after some dirtbag. Struggle ensued. Dirtbag had a .32 caliber revolver. But he was going after the officer's service weapon, and he was shot and killed by his fellow officers. But that piece of garbage is shot and killed and no longer with us. But also, second order of business, we need to send prayers out to our friend Winston Smith. His family's going through some things. And also, Mr. Yerkew, who's recovering from kidney stones. I heard they are a real pain in the you-know-what. But anyways, we have a very special guest on the line. He is a professional comedian. He's able to make dirty jokes real clean and also is able to make clean jokes sound real dirty. His name is Lanell Harris, better known as Black Rosebud. He has a YouTube channel called Lanell Harris Live 2 with 135,001 subscribers. I'm being the number one. How are we doing today, Mr. Harris?
Oh, we're doing excellent. Thanks for the proper introduction.
No problem, sir. How would you like to be addressed? Lanell, Mr. Harris, Black Rosebud, sir?
Black.
You got it, Black.
is that weird for a white person to call a black person black?
No, because I work with a lot of black people in... they call each other black, but it's like, hey, what's up, black? Not much, black. Or two guys talking, hey, black is going over here. Well, which one? Light skin black. You mean light skin black? No, that's kind of light skin black.
We separated black. The brown skin black with the hair.
Right. Now with yours truly being a Caucasoid, they call me light skinned. But anyways, it's... It's a pleasure to have you on the show. We're going to have a hell of a time because there's plenty out there. Next question. How's your baby mama doing?
Hopefully bad. I mean, I'll check her Facebook. It seemed like she's in good spirits, so I'm in bad spirits. So I check her Facebook to see anything tragic happened to her, you know, and things like that. And I mean, it could be wrong, but every time something bad happened to her, like she gets sick or something like that, I'm kind of happy, so it kind of feels good when she's in pain. So hopefully today, you know, since she feels suffer from some type of pain, so I can feel happy.
Outstanding. Now, what did your baby mama think of you becoming a YouTube sensation, a professional comedian, and living the dream? You know, this is something you wanted to do. You made some bad decisions, but believe me, you're not the first one that has been in the system that also appeared on the show, but also turned around his life around. But we can go into that much later. But how does your baby mama feel that knowing that you're doing what you want to do and enjoying the hell out of it?
It's she's kind of, you can tell she doesn't really like it because my success, she didn't believe in me, you know, and she doesn't. I think she's probably one of my biggest haters, so she doesn't really like it. You know what I'm saying? She doesn't really like that I'm getting views. She doesn't congratulate me. You know, she does. she's not really happy for me, you know, and it kind of makes me happy because of the position I'm in, you know, she kind of put me in it. So I kind of feel happy when I'm doing good and I can rub it in her face, you know what I'm saying? I know she's not too happy about that.
Right. I know the same feeling. My baby mama, which I call Mrs. Stanton, feels the same way about me in the show and everybody on this particular network. You know, we had great successes, great guests such as yourself, Pulitzer Prize winning authors, media personalities, so radio legends, World Series champions, so on and so forth. But she just detests that. But I know it's just jealousy. But anyways, let's get right into it. I mean, this past week is just gold for people like yourself and myself. Adam Schiff, what? Adam Schiff, Mr. Schiff is kind of shifty. Turns out he was first that horrible hearing last week with the director of national intelligence. He just made up his own dialogue between Trump and the president of the Ukraine. Say again.
Yeah, he's made up his own dialogue. That was kind of crazy because Adam Schiff, I've been doing a little research on him, and he's been like he's been behind the scenes for a long time. You know, he's been doing a lot of things behind the scenes for a long time, and he's crooked. You know, a lot of things he's doing is crooked, like the meeting, the changing of the dialogue. I mean, there's a lot of the impeachment process. There's a lot of things he's doing that doesn't follow the law, you know what I'm saying? And ain't nobody really talking about it, you know, holding the impeachment hearing, you know, where the president can't defend himself. You know, if you're going to go ahead with the impeachment, go ahead, you know. Let the president have a chance to do his questions and present his evidence and things like that. Right now, it's kind of one-sided because they got the president trapped where he can't present his evidence, you know, and they can subpoena this and call this witness and do all of this stuff. But since they can't, since they're not going ahead with the impeachment, the president can't defend himself. And now they're mad because he's trying to present evidence not about the impeachment process, but he's trying to present evidence backing on what he's been doing, you know? And it's kind of crazy how the Democrats not looking at that, you know what I'm saying? They're not going ahead with the impeachment. They're not trying to let him defend himself. So it's kind of crazy how the president is doing. He got to defend himself some type of way. You know, and the best defense
exactly.
Time is offense.
Yep. And yesterday, if you saw the joint press conference with the President Trump and the President of Finland, who Mr. Trump also called Mr. President, he let him have it. He let the media have it. And he went after some tort from Reuters, I believe it was, and just totally blasted.
I done a skit on it.
Yep. What's your just give the listeners a little taste. What's your what was your take on the skit? And I mean, not the skit, the press conference. Oh, hey, Black. Hey, we came to our first commercial break. When we come back, you talk about the skit and anything else you want. This is Scoop Stanton without Walter Yerkew with Black Rosebud on 75 Radio. We'll be back right after this.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win. They lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that will preserve the vanishing resource of the American cowboy. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery that celebrates our history, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. You can order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no vote.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back on 7-5 Radio. Walter Yerkew is recovering from kidney stones, but we have a very special guest. He is a comedian. He's a professional comedian, and he's a funny comedian. We have Black Rosebud on the line. Black, before we were interrupted, just take it away. You talk about Adam Schiff, whatever you want. The floor is yours, sir.
I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
The intro, it was a lot of, you gave a lot of respect to fallen police officers and showed your respect to a lot of fallen police officers. Why do you think the media doesn't cover more police killings and things like that? Because I never heard of them killings, and it seemed like some of them killings should at least hit the news or should have been talked about on social media. What do you think the media has against showing, these police and showing respect for these police?
Well, because the media hates the cops. I mean, think about it. The media hates Trumps. Trump loves the cops. The media hates the cops. But before I started this show, I'm on another DC correspondent for another show called The Political Cesspool. And there's an actual war on police. And the media just, the local cops, local media will talk about a fallen officer killed in the line of duty. They have the funeral and that's it. But the media just hates the cops. But God forbid a police officer does something wrong, like that officer in Dallas who walked into the wrong apartment and shot the homeowner just by doing his business in his own house. Of course, that made national news but that lady, that girl's got something wrong. You don't just walk into somebody's house thinking it's your own unless you were doing something you shouldn't be doing at late hours or whatever, anything like that. But that's something totally different. But I tell you what, Black, as soon as an officer shoots and kills an unarmed black man, even though that unarmed black man was doing something that drew the officer's attention, where the officer felt he had no other choice but to discharge his weapon. Then the media's all over it like white on rice. But this started about five. Go ahead.
I had got a lot of slack because when the shooting happened, the dude in Sacramento who was carrying the phone and things like that, and running through backyards and things like that. I mean, I had an opinion about it, and I feel sorry for him, but he deserve it. You know what I'm saying? You don't run from the police and make all, I mean, I deal with the police in the hood. You know how to deal with the police. You don't run from the police. You don't hold nothing in your hands. You know what I'm saying? You make everything visible. You talk to them. You know, if you ain't got nothing to hide, you know what I'm saying? You talk to them with respect. You answer the questions. You know what I'm saying? You don't disrespect. You don't catch attitudes. Now, it was just a football player, I don't know, from Tennessee or something like that, who just got arrested. Right. He was in the back of the police car talking about how, where he's from, they shoot at police and police get disrespected and things like that. He's in the back of the police car saying this. So when you say it's a war on police, I kind of feel you, because me growing up in the neighborhood I grew up in, you know what I'm saying, we don't like police, and we grew up not to like police. You know, it's not really like shoot at the police. It's like don't trust the police, and you develop a natural hate for the police. You know, so
right.
It's kind of crazy, because even though the police protect our neighborhoods and things like that, you know, and our property and things like that, we still grew up to kind of disrespect the police. And I don't know where that came from. Even now, I have a natural fear of the police. Even though I'm legal, I just have a natural fear of the police because of the way I was raised. It has nothing to do with the police.
Right. And that's just, you know, the mentality of people on the left, the mentality, you know, they just say the ghetto mentality. Oh, the police are racist. Police going to lock up daddy. Police going to lock up the breadwinner. But I mean, this is a war on cops started over 5 years ago under the Obama administration. If you remember, Obama was just dumping on the cops, the cop in Cambridge, Massachusetts, arresting the homeowner who was in his, you know, had a break in his house because the neighbor saw, oh, there's a black guy breaking into the house. And it happened to be the homeowner, and he was acting a fool. And you also had Ferguson going on, and then you had Eric Garner. But then in December of 2014, you had two officers working on the Saturday before Christmas, working overtime, taking a break in their cruiser. And you had this absolute piece of garbage named Ismael Brinsley go from Baltimore up to New York and shoot two cops at point blank range, just having a seat, having a meal in a car, working overtime to make money, because and New York's finest does not make enough money. And then right now you have this Mayor de Blasio who's done absolutely nothing for the cops, and now he's got six dead cops that were murdered, not by friendly fire like Officer Mohegan, but just killed by these just animals in the street. And this is also the city that started the water getting thrown on the cops, and the cops are just felt absolutely helpless. And that's why, luckily, they have a good union president. His name is Patrick Lynch, and who's going toe to toe. I mean, back in the '80s, they had something called airmail, where on top of the housing projects, these residents, if what you want to call them,
put the airmail.
Yep, plaster bucket full of stuff, and then one officer. Yep, they call it airmail, and guess what? Airmail's coming back, and along with water, along with other things, and you know, and New York is. Say again.
I said I got a question for you. Do you think the body cameras and the cameras, new cameras like all around the society, camera phones and things like that, do you think that help police, or do you think it hurt police officers?
I actually think it helps police, because when some ne'er-do-well says, oh, Officer Stanton beat me up and he called me the N-word and he did this and the other thing, okay, pull the footage. Oh, okay, nothing found. Because studies have shown that with these body cameras on the police, complaints against the police are going down, and so now the garbage in the street wants the body cameras removed, because they show they're the evidence.
The body cameras removed now.
Yeah, because they show, because they, if the cops have the body cameras and some ne'er-do-well come up and give them a finger and, you know, tell them to go do something nasty to their mother. You know, it's on camera. It's on sight and sound. It's on HD TV. Now, granted, a couple officers from the old 7th Precinct where my partner used to work at and do his dirt at, they got in trouble because one female officer forgot to turn off her body camera while they were fooling around in the cop car. So it helps. Yeah, it helps and it hurts, but I think body cameras are a good thing for the most part. I don't agree with them 100% because, again, Black, you know, growing up in the hood, there's a certain way you talk to certain people, which includes colorful language we can't use on FCC airwaves.
Exactly.
And so when you have Officer Jones, Officer Smith, you know, some dirtbag, and, you know, you say, get the F out of here. It's like, well, Officer Jones, Officer Smith told me to get the F out of here. And there it is, and, you know, it's clear as day. But anyways, that's why we do it here. I mean, myself, my co-host, we both to be used to be members of the New York's police departments. He did two bids in the joint for, you know, extracurricular activities, if you will. I did it. I got the boot because I like to drink a little too much off the job. That got me in trouble. But
wow.
But yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I got a question.
Go right ahead, sir.
How does it, like, I mean, you're only human, right? And as a police officer, how do you, is it hard to walk the line with so many temptations this in front of you? Like, because me, I know, it'd be hard for me to be a police officer because I probably would have been like trained that. Me coming up from where I'm coming from and seeing things, you know what I'm saying, I could take advantage of.
Right. Right. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll answer the question on the other side of this break. This is Peter Scoopstant with Black Rosebud talking about a whole host of things, having a good time. All right, we'll be right back, folks.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We apologize for that noise earlier. We had an issue with the news feed. It's not Liberty News Radio, just that our news supplier was just a little off, if you will. Black, you still with us, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Outstanding. All right, to answer your question about temptation as a police officer, my answer is the culture of the police. When I went to the academy after Mr. Yerkew, and while I was going through, they showed pictures of actually the tape of the Mullen Commission, because they had VCRs, not DVDs, and we were told that Mr. Dowd, Mr. Yerkew, and all his associates were the lowest pieces of human garbage. They're no good. Don't be these guys, this, that, and the other thing. So 20-something years later, I decided to start a radio show with Mr. Yerkew, yeah. And we had Mr. Dowd on twice. But to answer your question, it's a culture thing, because they said, well, you could go out, do this dirt, do wrong, but you're going to lose. First of all, you're going to go to jail. You're going to lose your pension. You're going to lose your health benefits. You're going to lose, you know, you're going to lose everything that, you know, working people get. Whereas Mr. Yerkew will say that if the culture back then, because New York City, believe it or not, has had a terrible, terrible corruption problem for over 100 years. Even back when Theodore Roosevelt was police commissioner, they had a terrible corruption problem. They had a corruption problem in the 70s. If you remember with Frank Serpico in the movie with Al Pacino, and they had a corruption problem in the 80s. Because the city of New York was paying their cops next to nothing. They were living paycheck to paycheck. And the neighborhoods they were working, you had these 18, 19-year-old kids with these $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 sports cars. And the
you walking and you catching the bus to work, and they walking around with a,
right.
a drop top. You looking at them off the bus going home from your hard days of work. He got three or four girls in the car with a jewelry and a hat on with the gold chains, and you eating out the 99 cent store out of buying canned foods. Yeah, that has to mess with you some type of way.
Right. And so they, you know, it was not uncommon for the cops back in those days to take a little something on the side. And so then if you watch the movie The 7-5, Mike Dowd was in a pinch, you know, pulled a car over, which just had no plates, the driver had no license, no nothing, and said, listen, buy me a nice lunch and I'll make it go away. And he got a $500 bribe. And I asked Walter.
The coolest line, he said, I'm a police and a gangster.
Yep. Yep.
Don't get it wrong. I am a police and a gangster. I'm out here risking my life and doing all this, and you want to short me a dime?
Yep.
That was a cold line. Right there.
Yeah, and yeah, that's how it was. And I asked Walter, I was like, what about like your supervision, your bosses? Oh, we had to kick some up to them. So it was like organized crime. But again, that was a culture back in the day. Now things got a little bit better. They paid the cops a little bit more, not much more. And they just, the culture is, okay, we're going to do everything on the up and up. We don't want to be like Michael Dowd. We don't want to be like Walter Yerkew. We don't want to be like the cops, Frank Serpico, brought down. We want to do our job. We want to do the right thing. Now, granted, you don't go in the police department and say, oh yeah, I want to be, become a thug or a criminal, but you know, it happens that way. So does that answer your question, pretty much?
Yeah, it answers my question. I also got another question, right? What do you think about this situation where the police are becoming politicians now and working with politicians instead of working with police officers, like the dude who the officer got detained, I think it was Virginia, who got detained for...
My backyard.
For giving an ICE officer information on an immigrant. What do you think about that? And you know, the government, the police, is working with the government now instead of the police instead of the legal system.
I think it's absolutely terrible. I mean, myself and my my co-host, Walter Yerkew. We talk about New York City all the time because the chief of department is the police commissioner and the police police chief and the commissioner. They're both politicians. They do the mayor's bidding. They're not pro-cop. And for those who aren't aware of what happened in Fairfax County, Virginia, which is right in my backyard, right outside of the District of Columbia, a police officer responded to an accident involving two automobiles. He ran the names of both drivers. One of the drivers was an illegal immigrant, and the Immigration and Customs Enforcement had a detainer on him because he failed to appear for a immigration hearing where he's supposed to get deported. So the good officer decided.
Can I ask you a question right quick?
Sure.
Is that a crime before we go any further? Was that a crime?
Well, that's failure to appear.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, well,
I want to make sure, because if I had a failure to appear, they'd be knocking at my door or kicking the door down or anything like that. I just want to know, was it a crime to verify for black people? Because, you know,
no,
in my neighborhood, it's a crime.
Right. But it's an immigration hearing. So it's the, now we're in what they call a gray area. Is it a criminal hearing or is it a civil hearing? So, but ICE wanted this man. That's the thing. A federal law enforcement AG wanted this man in custody. He was not free to leave. So the officer contacted ICE, says, "Oh, I have this. I have John Smith over here. You want him?" Yes. So, cop put him in custody. Kept him in custody and then turned him over to ICE, and which is a violation of the Fairfax County Police Department SOPs. So the chief of police put him on suspension and made him go to re-education for training. But it's being a politician. Say again.
They said he made a mistake. The commission said
the cop
made a mistake. That's why the cop made a mistake and he know better. So he has to go through retraining because he know we're not supposed to work with ICE, basically. You know what I'm saying? He's like, the police knew better. So since he knew better, you wasn't supposed to work with ICE. I'm going to suspend you, and I'm going to retrain you because you know better, basically. Because we was all
trained for this. Exactly. And so unfortunately, they don't have a collective bargaining agreement here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, so I don't know what the Fraternal Order of Police can do. But anyways, the chief of police was a politician, because once you reach a certain rank in departments, you become a politician. The sheriff is a politician. Oh, you like this one. The sheriff in Fairfax County, her name is Stacy Kincaid. She said she will now hold people for ICE unless they have a criminal warrant. So, again, you can go through the Fairfax County Jail. You can be a legal immigrant. ICE won't watch you for the same thing. They're not going to hold you unless you are charged with an actual crime other than being in this country illegally, which, if you think about it, local ordinance, it's trespassing. So these people are trespassing, which is a crime. But the sheriff, who's a politician because she got her job by running for office, elected office, is not going to do anything about it. And you get in a slippery slope, and of cops, you know, senior leadership in police departments becoming politicians, because the politicians say, well, you know what? Let me ask you this: do you like your new toys? Do you like your overtime? Do you like your special
exactly.
details? Do you like your cars? Well, go out and what they call produce. Go out, issue summonses. Go out, make arrests. So then the sheriff or the chief of police will go to his commanders, his commanding officers, says, oh, tell your cops that they like their overtime, they like their new toys, they like their new cars, go out and produce, you know, tickets. So now it's the same thing. Oh, you like your cushion.
It's always been a black myth. So that myth is true, that at certain points in the year or certain quarters or certain events coming up, the police do actually have a quota to arrest more people and give out more tickets?
They don't have a quota. They can't have a quota because that's a certain number. They have what they call goals.
A goal.
But then, right. But then again, think about it. If you and I are on the LAPD, right? And you're out there arresting people and writing summonses and doing a job, and I write one ticket a month, maybe one arrest a month for jaywalking. Who do you think they're going to pick for a special detail, you or me? You know,
exactly.
But again, it's a money issue because, you know, these municipalities make tons and tons and tons of money with these tickets and speed camera tickets. In fact, I'm fighting the District of Columbia on two speed camera tickets, but that's something else. So that's my opinion. You know, go ahead.
You're out of New York.
I tell you what, we'll come. Yep, I'm from the city of New York. But anyways, Black, stick around. We got one more segment. This is the first time I was interviewed by a guest. We'll be right back on 75 Radio.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. DefendAPatriot.com.
To leave a message, press 1. To change your message, press 7.
Hey, Mom, Dad, Mark here. Wow, I love college, really. I never knew living on my own could be so, good for me.
To change your message, press 7.
So, here I am at college. It's cool. Well, of course, it's only been a week. Hey, it's me. I was just remembering that time I hit my first home run, you know, through the garage window. Thanks for not being mad. No. Hi. Boy, I miss you guys. I miss my room. I miss waking up to warm socks straight from the dryer. Warm socks?
Family. Isn't it about time?
Hi, it's Mark. Love you guys. I'll call you later.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we are back on 75 Radio. This is Peter Scoop Stant with Black Rosebud, also known as Lonel Harris. Check him out, Lonel Harris, L-O-N-N-E-L Harris 2 on YouTube. And this is the first time I had a guest interview myself on my show. But I'm having a hell of a time.
You know why I do that?
Why is it?
When I write my jokes and things like that, I like to write from other people's perspective and get other people's perspective because that's key in my jokes. So this is actually my first time talking to an ex-police officer and having a conversation with him. So it's actually a thrill to me to actually get a point of view from you because I never got that point of view before. So it's a thrill to me to ask you questions.
Oh, neat. Now, when you on your YouTube channel, you're gonna chop up the show and just ask a question. Say next.
Next. A lot of people like that. I done that as a, like, because I was trying to hurry up and edit the Democratic debate, right? Because I was doing the skit out as the show was going. So when I didn't, when it was too much for me to break down, I said, okay, that's too confusing. Next, ain't nobody gonna understand that. Next.
Right, right.
Yeah, and it's caught on.
Right.
So, yep. You from New York? I mean, you lived in the New York area and things like that. Was you around when Rudy Giuliani was around?
Yes, I was hired under Mayor Giuliani.
So, what is your opinion about Mayor Giuliani? Because I didn't like him at first, but now I absolutely love him. I can't stop watching Rudy Giuliani. He's funny. He's smart. You know what I'm saying? His character is like, I never saw this side of Rudy. Has he always been like this, or is this something new?
No, Rudy is, he ran New York with an iron fist. New York's got 8 million people, 8 million problems, and again, the media hated Rudy. The local news channel up there, New York One, which is owned by Time Warner Cable, just blasted him 24/7, just like CNN blasting President Trump. Under Rudy Giuliani, first thing he did was say, I'm going to give the cops the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to back my police officers. And, of course, the PBA endorsed him the first time around. He cleaned up this city like I haven't seen, like nobody's seen within 8 years. He was, you know, he called out the bad politicians. He called out the bad leadership. Unlike the current mayor of New York, Rudy was summoned to jury duty for a civil trial, even though he is he does have his law degree, and he was able to sit on a civil trial during the day, and at night he ran the city. There's times Rudy would take his SUV around the bad parts of town late at night to see what's going on. Rudy is the first mayor to bring the town hall idea back to local politics. Or local municipalities. I mean, I've seen this, but overall, the streets were cleaned up. People went to jail. The panhandlers started going away. The squeegee men went away. New York was livable. He cut taxes. He cut spending. He tried to get a hold of control of the school board system because his theory is like, well, I'm not going to, why should me, the mayor, write a $1 billion check to the New York City Board of Education when I have no oversight? So that's the one thing he was not able to get done. But, I mean, Rudy is a take no prisoners type of guy. I mean, and if you notice, he's working with Trump and he's going on TV, he was appointed by Ronald Reagan as U.S. attorney in New York. I mean, wow. Here's something you probably don't remember. Back in the early 80s when Rudy was U.S. attorney, him and Al D'Amato, Senator Al D'Amato, got their hands on some cuts from the Hell's Angels that were sent to jail, and they went to some ghetto to buy crack to show how prevalent the crack epidemic was. So,
wow.
I mean, they dressed up as bikers, and, you know, you have a U.S. attorney and a U.S. senator buying crack in the hood. And, you know, the Hell's Angels weren't happy because they, you know, one thing you don't do is put on a member's cut if you're not a member.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Giuliani was just, he's just been an awesome mayor. And this, I mean, everything that happened was before September 11th. Then September 11th came around and, you know, President Bush, he's just flying all around and going, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. And Rudy, he's doing an impromptu press conference, walking in the street saying, hey, everybody be calm. And, you know, I think he really saved New York and saved America. But, you know, unfortunately, he picked the wrong people to run his presidential campaign. And they gave us Rudy Light. You know, that's not the mayor I know. You know, I disagree him on things like gun control and abortion. But, you know, what he's done for the people in New York that they, you know, 18 years after he left office, except, you know, was great. I mean, his predecessor, Mike Bloomberg, he kept the ball rolling. But now you got Bill de Blasio, who's just he's the worst mayor since Abraham Beam.
So, speaking of abortion, it's funny you said abortion. Did you hear about the new secret abortion clinic that they just built?
No.
They just built a new secret abortion clinic. I think it's in Illinois. It's opening up. I think it opened up yesterday. It was secretly built, and it was built under another name because they didn't want the people to know it was an abortion clinic. Now it's opened up because it's a lot of states surrounding Illinois that doesn't allow abortion or have strict restrictions on abortion. So a lot of women are going to be traveling across state lines to that hospital to get abortion. Now, the abortion, anti-abortion activists, they're saying, like, all y'all basically doing is offering abortions. Y'all don't really offer anything. Y'all don't offer assistance. Y'all don't offer medication. Y'all don't offer counseling. Y'all don't offer nothing. It's, y'all main thing is abortion, you know? And
yep.
And I think they said that thing was 40% of America's abortions or something like that. That area had produced 40% of America's abortions because people travel from different states to go to that state to get abortion. So it's a new abortion clinic that was put up secretly, I think, in Illinois. So what do you think about that? You think that's something people should be looking into?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you put a clinic, a medical clinic, under false pretenses. I mean, if you want to say it's abortion, I mean, to me, Planned Parenthood is nothing but an abortion mill. I mean, I had the, I went to a Planned Parenthood clinic with somebody, and it's just the most evil place I've ever been into. There's nothing there for, talking about birth control, women's health, any of that stuff. It's just an abortion mill. You walk in, it's a god-awful looking waiting room. There's plexiglass between you and the person, receptionist behind the desk. They got a little fishbowl. Yeah, they got a little fishbowl of condoms. And then the woman, and only the woman, goes in the back. Not the father, not the guy who should have a say in this matter.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just awful. And of course, a lot of women of color go to these places to have abortions. And, you know, Margaret Sanger, who started Planned Parenthood, she used abortion for eugenics. So, but of course, that's one of Hillary Clinton's idols. But anyways, Black, we got only a couple minutes left. Why don't you tell America how they can get a hold of you, watch you, see you, or contact you?
Okay, you can reach me. You know, I'll be on YouTube with the political comedy on Lionel Harris Live. That's LONN. L. Harris Live 2. You can also reach me on all my social medias under Black Rosebud. That's BLAQ Rosebud, RoseBud, 2 D's, DB. You know, Instagram and, you know, and Twitter and all the things like that. I try to keep a video and stay up on the social events every day. I try to bring laughter. I try to ease the pain of watching these this everyday stressful politics and things like that. So I try to add a comedy relief to it to make it easy to watch. So, you know, evidently a lot of people have been liking me. A lot of people have been watching my videos and sharing my videos. So I'm going to keep it up. So if you ain't watched it, like everybody will say, watch one. If you're conservative, you're going to be hooked.
Right. Even if you're not conservative, I mean, it's comedy with a point. That's what they... That's one. I mean, anybody can sit up, you know, tell dirty jokes or whatever, but it's nothing. There's very few comics can have, you know, talk comedy with a point, with truth. You know, that's just really blowing me away. And I said, you know what? Because the past couple weeks on this show, we've talked about cop suicide because New York City had nine cops in 9 months commit suicide, including two retired officers, cops murdered in the line of duty. You know, a whole bunch of bad things. Jeffrey Epstein killed himself, and, you know, nobody said anything about that. I said, you know what? Let me get Black Rosebud on, see if he'll come on, see if we put some comedy back in this show. Because, I mean, I try my hand at comedy, but I fail very very often and very badly.
Everybody but, has humor in them, but it depends on what you talk about, you know what I'm saying? And the truth. It's always funny. It is how you present it. You know, you got to present it a certain way. Like, I'm going to get to talking about Bernie Sanders' heart, his little weak heart, how he's fighting and things like that. It's just taking common points. Like, we know that right. A lot of Democrats say a lot of stupid stuff. So just taking common points and making sense of it.
But you think Bernie went to a free clinic or went to a nice private hospital?
The lady said, oh, he had a heart attack.
Right. Hey, Black. Hey, we reached the end of the show. Trust me, I'll be calling you more times than you care for to fill in as a co-host, I guess, or whatever. But anyways, yeah. Check him out. Black Rosebud, Lionel Harris 2, live on YouTube. Black, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, bro. Thank you for answering my question. Thank you.
No problem. All right, so long, everybody.
This is James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.